I said, who's ready? Who's ready for the word of God this morning? Praise God. Now in heaven, if you look at heaven, if you think about heaven, everything around his throne is worship. The people that's in heaven are worshippers. The angels that has been created are worshippers. So heaven has been created for true worshippers. People have a big struggle worshiping God on earth. I don't think much is going to change in heaven. This is why heaven is ascribed to as a place of for people that worships God. If you know what I'm talking about, I want you just to say hallelujah for a minute. Now heaven is full of angelic hosts and righteous people, great and old, that will stand before him and worship. What's happening in heaven right now? He's being worshipped. Come on, he's being adored. That's what's happening in worship. I want to quickly read you a scripture in the book of Romans. And if we have it on the screen, please put it on. This is Romans. Let me quickly get it. There's nothing on the screen. Can you say Romans? Romans, what is it? In the back, Romans 8. Thank you very much. Romans chapter 8. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. I want to read this again. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. The translation says that all of creation, what does this mean? It means everything that is created is ready for the sons of God to be revealed. Everything that has been created, all of creation is waiting for the revelation of the revealing of the sons of God. Now, whether you're a woman or a guy this morning, if you are born again, you are called a son of God. But the Bible says that creation is waiting. Waiting for what? Waiting for the body of Christ to step in full revelation, full knowledge, and start to reveal the true nature of themselves, no, of who they are in Christ Jesus. As Mary had an expectation, she was expectant with Jesus Christ. She was about to give birth to the Son of God. The same way Mary has found favor to walk with expectation on the inside of her, so are the body of Christ being called to give birth to the manifestation. Amen. Come on, somebody. To the manifestation. I want to speak to you quickly. I want to touch on this. Many people speak about the supernatural, and many people believe that in the supernatural is A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q. It's not what the scripture says. For those who believe, these signs shall follow. Come on, in my name, they shall lay their hands on the sick. They will cast out demons. They will cleanse the lepers. It's as easy as A, if you believe in my name. You do the works and even greater works, for I go unto my Father. This is how we reveal to creation and manifest the glory of God, is the minute that we understand that Jesus came as a prototype. He revealed to us exactly what we ought to be. We ought to be carriers of the presence of God. Come on, I want somebody to shout, but the time for the miraculous is not yet over. Come on, I want to speak to somebody. We need a next move of God. I said, we need a next move of God. Come on, I believe that mountains are still being moved. I believe that strongholds are still being loosed. Come on, I believe that bodies are still being raised. Hallelujah! Is somebody in this house this morning? Come on, I believe that bodies are still being raised. I believe that he's still a mountain-moving God. I still believe that he makes a way where there seems to be no way. I still believe that his word is the highest authority and his word can never come back void. Come on, I still believe that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I still believe that he visits those who's hungry and thirsty after him. I still believe that he reveals his glory to those who love him. I still believe that he is the only way, the truth, and the life. I still believe that no one goes to the Father but by him. And I believe it's time for the sleeping giant to arise and release the glory of God in this earth. Come on, where are those who say, Lord, use me to manifest your glory. Let all creation see through my life that you are alive. Come on, if you believe it, I want you to shout yes. Come on, I said, if you believe it, I want you to shout yes. All of creation is waiting with expectation When will they reveal themselves? When will they reveal the true posture of who God is? And he's going to listen. Can I just prophesy this to somebody? It's going to happen through our generation. If you are alive, you just wave at me. Okay, thank God. You are part of that. You are part of that revealing. I said you are part of that revealing. The Bible says that a prophet will never remain without honor, except when he's in his own country, among his own people. This means that when you speak to your own people, it's, ah, it's not vessel, you know. And when a pastor on TV says it, oh, did you hear it? I've been preaching that the whole week. But in any case, when somebody else is preaching it, wow, did you hear that word? Wat het jy nog geluister in jou lewe lank? All right, but that's what the Bible says. But I want to just quickly say this. I prophesy this to you. You can, like I said, either honor the prophet or reject the prophet. But I prophesy this, that the hunger for the Spirit of God will return. People will cry out to him. People will have such a hunger. They will beg God, just pour out your Spirit once again. Listen, without the anointing, people dry up. The anointing keeps you moist. The anointing keeps you hungry. The anointing keeps you desperate. Where's the desperate people at? Would you high five your neighbor and just say, I am desperate this morning? I'm teaching you something this morning. The anointing, without the anointing, the scripture is clear. It says man dies without the anointing. Man dies. Preaching without the anointing becomes religion. Churches without the anointing becomes clubs. The word without the anointing becomes difficult. Many people say to me, when you preach deep, but so plus, that's what the anointing does. The anointing releases the word and makes it easy for the hearer to understand. The hearer needs to take that anointing and put it into action. Because whether you like it or not, quickly look at me. I need to say this while you look at me straight in the eye. Whether you like it or not, what you sit under, you become. What you siphon from week after week, after week, after week, after week, after week, you attract that to your life. It becomes part of your DNA. This is why I declare by the power of the Holy Ghost that your spiritual life will never dry up. I said from this morning, you will go from glory to glory. Your worship, the adoration, come on, your praise will never dry up. Your prayer life will never dry up. I'm speaking to people that will knock on heaven's door until God answers you. Is it such people in this house? Hallelujah. Now I want to quickly share this with you. Moses spoke to God in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 18, and he said, show me your glory. Did you notice that Moses didn't say, show me your power? He didn't say, show me your power. Moses saw God's power. Moses saw that through God's power, the whole of Egypt was destroyed. Moses saw by God's power that the whole Red Sea was parted. Now, people say, well, where Moses and the Israelites were passing through, it was about 6 inches of water, so it was impossible for them to drown in the water. I say, well, if the Bible says they've drowned in the Red Sea, and even if your theology says it's 6 inches of water, thank God, that's even a greater miracle. Imagine God making people to drown in 6 inches of water. Is somebody here? My God can do anything. I said, my God can do anything. I said, my God can do anything. That's my God. He can do anything. Hallelujah. And here Moses comes and he says, Lord, I've seen your power. I've seen when I lift up this rod that things happen. Lord, I've seen you move. Ooh, I'm speaking to people that says, I've seen you move. You move at mountains. I've seen you part the sea, Lord. I've seen you provide bread falling out of the sky, manna everywhere. I've seen you move, but now, Lord, there's something in me that cries out, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Now, for people that don't understand, the glory of God is his nature. It's God's nature. Say this with me, it's God's nature. It's God's attributes. Say this with me, it's God's attributes. In God's power, you will not experience his nature. You'll see the power of God. You'll see the manifestation of God. But in God's glory, you experience his very nature. What Moses is saying, he says, Lord, show me your glory and that will be enough for me. You know, God responded, he says, no man can see me and live. And then God said something else. I'm teaching you something. The scripture goes on, it says that God said, I've got a place by me. Do you know, a powerful translation says that God said to Moses, I've got a place next to me. I've got a place next to me. Say this, I've got a place next to me. Why do I preach what I preach? Because I believe, body of Christ, it's time for the next move of God. Now, I need more than five people that will agree on this one. We need a next move of God. What do you mean a next move of God? I believe a move of God where there will be hours upon hours of an outpour of the Spirit. Where people will come to church every single day. Souls will be, listen, I, in the name of Jesus, I just feel stirred up. I need people with faith that will quickly join with me right now. I declare this morning, every single person that drives down the R21 right now shall have an encounter. Come on, come on. I want you to do me a favor. Stand to your feet quickly. Stretch out your hands that way. Turn around, stretch your hands towards that way. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we stretch our hands towards the R21, we declare everybody passing shall have an encounter with the living God. We pray that sickness will be healed. We pray, Lord, a glory manifestation in those scars. We thank you, lives will be transformed. Your word promises, if two or more agrees on anything, it shall be done. We agree more. Lord, there's more than just two. We agree, according to your word, that it shall be done. That you will answer. We declare in the name of Jesus as they drive, a fresh fire of God's glory shall move in those cars. We declare in the name of Jesus salvation in R21. It will move to the N1, the N12, the N17. It will strike the nation of South Africa. Let it be a glory revival in this nation. We declare it in Jesus' name. And the people of God say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Do you believe God's going to do that this morning? My God, I just felt stirred to do that. So Moses said, show me your glory. And God said, I've got a place next to me. And the scripture goes on. He says, I'll put you on a rock. Then he continues. He says, I'll make a cleft in the rock. I'll put you in the cleft. Once you are in the cleft of the rock, my glory shall pass by you. Now, I like what the scripture says. God says, you want to see my glory? I've got a place next to me. With Jesus next to the Father. He's called the Rock of Ages. He was cleft for me and for you on the cross. So what God said to Moses, you want to qualify to see my attributes, my nature, as long as you are in the Son. And the Son is in you. You qualify to see my glory. Then suddenly, Exodus chapter 34, verse 5, God reveals his attributes. He says, I'm a God that's loving. I'm a merciful God. I'm a gracious God. I'm a kind God. I'm compassionate. Imagine that. Here's God saying, you want to know who I am? I'm going to reveal to you who I am. I'm going to reveal exactly my attributes. And here's just the quick thing that I want to teach on. If we think about John 14 that says, when the Spirit of truth will come, the Bible speaks about a threefold way that the Holy Spirit reveals himself to people that's born again. Amen? Amen? And John 14 says that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will be with you and he will be within you. And I see two instances. This is the thing. The presence of God does not come upon me. The presence of God comes within me. Amen. Right? Please say this with me. The presence of God does not come upon me. It comes within me. Do you believe that? I said, do you believe that? Yes. The presence of God causes me to be, while the power of God causes me to do. I'm going to try this side. The presence of God causes me to be, while the power of God causes me to do. Amen. I'm getting somewhere. So the presence of God, the scripture says, you, the Holy Spirit, and by the way, the Holy Spirit is the manifestation of the Godhead. He's the power from heaven. I've seen this. The reason why people struggle to worship, it's not because of their nature. We've got a nature changer. Do you hear me? If you know me, if you know my nature, hier broer ek so skaam soos die kry. I sat at a table the one day at a church eating, and Tinus was with me, and the pastor looked at me. I was just quiet, you know, shy, introvert, myself, by the way. And the pastor looked over me, he said, listen, if you have any problems, deep things, you can trust me, you can speak to me. And Tinus laughed, he says, listen, this is who he is. There's nothing wrong with him. He's in his element right now. You should see him if he gets happy. If he gets excited. Now, in any case, so when the presence of God comes in, Samuel said the following. He says that he changes you into another man. You're transformed into another being. You can be quiet until the Holy Ghost takes over. And when he takes over, this is why he changes your nature. You saw you, so you worship like this. When he takes over your nature, my brother, gooi jou skoene uit. You jabula, hands in the air, and you just worship him. This is why David said, lift up holy hands, you people. This is why he says, praise him. Let everything that has breath, praise him. When the Holy Spirit moves man to worship the creator of the universe. Come on, I want somebody to say hallelujah. So the presence of God and the power of God is two separate things. It's not the same thing. And this morning, you're going to see both. I said, this morning, you're going to see both. The power of God stirs you. I want to say this again. The power of God stirs you. Do you know what that means? Everything is bold. Everything is loud. You hit those cymbals and everything is loud. And we pray in the Spirit loud. Why do we pray in the Spirit, by the way? We confuse Satan. We confuse. Satan does not know when a child of... In actual fact, we cause confusion in the enemy's camp. The minute we start to pray in tongues. The minute we start to... Karameshe, Mondro Mochni, Marta Bashek Handoroski. Satan's like... What gebeur nou, boys? Hang on now. And while he's still looking what's going on, you're already entering the Holy of Holies. Come on, you immediately through the... Through the first round, second round, right into the courts of glory. And there's nothing that Satan can do about it. This is why people are drying up without the anointing. We need a fresh touch of God's anointing. The anointing will give you a zeal. This is why people go onto the streets on a Friday evening, in the cold, in the rain, because there's an anointing upon them that sustains and drives the hunger. Whoa! This is why if people don't come to church, I've got no idea what's wrong. Because the anointing in this place, it keeps me alive. It keeps me happy. Who's living for Sundays, just by the way? Can you live for a Sunday? Can you wait for the kerk to come? This, So the power stirs us. It stirs the inside of you. While the presence of God stills you. Suddenly it becomes still. The presence of God, the power of God, you rejoice in that. The presence, you weep. You weep in the presence. When people start to weep, the presence of God is taking over. When people start to weep in the presence of the Lord, now in His presence, there's fullness of joy. At His right hand, pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. So when the presence of God comes in, things changes. There's a shift happening in me. Now, but I want you to just quickly hear me. You have been created for the presence. The reason why God created you is to live a life in His presence. Come on, say this with me. I have been created for His presence. Say this again. I have been created for His presence. Now, this is what happens. The presence is a person. The presence is His person. Amen? Somebody listening to me? The presence of God. Many people say, well, the presence of God is here. And what they actually mean is the power of God is here. Because the presence is within. This is what the Bible says. His presence is within. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. But Acts 1 verse 8 says that you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So the Spirit of God comes upon you to empower you to do the work, to do miracles, signs and wonders. I want you to hear me now. Basil Dubrain approves this message. If the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you do not need 10 years of degrees. No, you don't listen to me. In actual fact, I want to say this with love and respect to anybody, but you don't even have to fast for 40 days. If the Holy Spirit comes upon you, He does the work through you. What qualifies me? You know, the scripture says, Lord, teach us what to do. What should we do to do the works of God? And Jesus responded, believe in Him who God has sent. My qualification to step into miracles, signs and wonders is to believe in the one God has sent. And his name is Jesus. Come on. Do you know that cancer bowed his knee in the presence of Jesus? Come on. Do you know that fear and every stronghold is broken at the mention of that name of Jesus? Do you know? I said, do you know? The only reason why people lack in the dimension of miracles is because they lack revelation on miracles. Anything that you lack is just because there's no revelation. You need revelation on what God is saying about, say for instance, miracles, signs and wonders. So I'm teaching you something this morning. I believe it's time for a new move of God. I believe it's time for a constant outpour of His Spirit. Listen, even if I'm the only one here that believes this, you know, one thing that I know when God speaks. I absolutely understand when God speaks. Please just look at me quickly. If you are broken, jy kan verslaaf wees aan enigiets. Geen om wat dit is nie. Okay? You're addicted. Doesn't matter to what it is. It doesn't matter what the psychologist said about you. I don't even care what the psychologist said about your brain, what's happening in your brain. Maybe it's underdeveloped, maybe it's overdeveloped. I don't care what doctor said, what sickness and disease you have in your bloodline. When you are being exposed to the presence of God, everything that has been assigned to you that's not of God is there illegally. Is somebody listening to me? It's there illegally. It's there illegally. So what happens when, this is why we expose you to the presence. When you're exposed to the presence, this is why people should never, ever, ever be happy going to a church where it's dead, where they refuse to have the Holy Spirit, where there's no move of the Spirit. You don't want that. You can have a club anywhere. We need a constant encounter. And the reason why Satan is fighting the Holy Spirit in churches is because without the Holy Spirit, there's bondage. There's broken lives, there's broken pieces. And then they will get doctors at kop doctors with your pillikies al gee. You don't need a pill. You need breakthrough. You need a touch. You need a touch from heaven. And that one touch changes everything. Come, if you believe it, I want you to shout hallelujah. Come, if you believe it, I want you to shout hallelujah. Now, the presence of God, I'm going to get to the power now. The presence of God is known. It's known. How do I know the presence of God? Because the Bible says, if I give my life to the Lord, He lives within me. Now, I want you to hear me. Jesus said, I will be with you forever. Okay? I will be with you forever. But how can Jesus be with me forever if the Bible also says that He's in heaven? He's living in heaven and He's alive forever to intercede for me and for you. What's Jesus doing right now? He's interceding. Amen. What's Jesus doing? He's interceding. Amen. He's interceding. And this is why we get breakthrough, because Jesus is the one that turns to the Father and says, Father, I've been there. I've been tested like they are tested. Please help them. This is when angels comes and God gives you aid. So how can Jesus be with me forever? It's through His Holy Spirit. Jesus was limited on earth to one place at a time. But the Holy Spirit, I like to call Him Jesus Unlimited. He's everywhere. God said He's everywhere at the same time. He's everywhere at the same time. So the presence of God is known in us. And the presence of God remains. But the scripture says there comes a day, in Isaiah says it, that they rebelled and grieved against His Holy Spirit. And He turned against them and fought them as an enemy. The day that God leaves you is the day that you are rebellious in your sin. You're rebellious. You refuse to change. You refuse to repent. You become rebellious. That's when the presence of God leaves. You'll have the Holy Spirit as the great evangelist that will always fight for you. Do you know that the Holy Spirit even fights for people on the deathbeds? But people still reject Him? People still reject the Holy Spirit even at the deathbed. But there will come a day where the Bible says where you keep on grieving Him, keep on rebelling against Him, that He will withdraw from you. And He become an enemy of you. Hello? How do I sustain that anointing or that presence of God? I'm going to give you three things quickly. Three things to draw the presence of God in your life. Number one, say this with me, worship. When we worship God, we create an atmosphere for Him to dwell in. God dwells, not Wesley du Brein's translation, the Bible says, God dwells among the praises of His people. So when people start to praise and worship God, He makes His habitation there. Isn't that beautiful? This is why even when the Bible says that Saul, a distressing spirit sent from God, came and attacked him, he needed somebody that can worship. And when David came up and David started worshiping, the spirit of Satan left Saul. So why do you think Satan does not want you to worship God? Because he knows the minute you start to worship God, then you have an antidote to anything that comes against you. But if Satan can keep you away from worshiping God, this is when sickness comes. Our biggest problem why people are not getting healed in services no more, let me just be blunt and say this, is because people come with an expectation that man is going to do something for me. This is why your sickness will remain on you and upon you until Jesus becomes more real than your sickness. Listen, who loves me? Be honest, you in church, you can't lie. Who loves Wessel de Bruin? Yeah, there's a paar mense. Ek het dinge gaan meer wees, maar okay, in elk geval. Ja. Dis waar wat hulle sê, my vrou. Let's try that again. Who loves Wessel de Bruin? Ja, as twee meer, okay. Alright, ek gaan nie... From this day, we don't ask that question in this church. But in any case, you can love the man of God, but you love his God more. You put a greater emphasis on his God than on him. Oh, somebody's not listening to me. My presence you don't require. My presence can only come into... When I come into your room, I promise you won't even know it because I'm too quiet. So you don't want my presence. But you want the presence of El Shaddai. You want the presence of Jehovah Rapha. You want the presence of Jehovah Tsikuni. That's what you want. Come on, who wants the presence of God? You need the presence of God. And he must be your reality. He's your reality. Your reality is not your sickness. It's not your bad job. It's not the people that comes against you. It's not the sickness and disease. Your reality is Jesus Christ. He's your reality. I said, he's your reality. He made you. He created you. He sustained you. He's your reality. I want you to shout that Jesus is my reality. This is why when we worship him and ascribe worship unto him, the Holy Spirit makes him real. You know how many times God rebuked me when I worship, and I say this clearly, you hear me. How many times he has rebuked me when I sing songs, for instance, holy, holy, holy are you Lord, but my mind is somewhere else. Then the Holy Spirit rebukes me and say, you're a liar. Yeah. What do you mean, Lord? Yeah, how can you say I'm holy if you have no revelation of who you're singing to? Every time I worship him, something in me changes. If you declare holy, 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 something changes here. You get a revelation of who you worship. Somebody listening to me. This is why Satan will always fight your worship. He will always fight your worship. Listen, if I go out now and I pull out a tree from the ground and I lay him on the ground, I don't plant him. The tree will wither away. It will die. This is many people's problem. Many people are not planted. They're not rooted. They hop from here to there, next conference. Do you know why people go from conference to conference to conference to conference? Because there's no substance in them. Yeah. Oh, just give me a word. Read your Bible. People live from word to word to word to word instead of grasping what the Word of God says. And when Jesus is the reality, I don't need a new conference. I need a fresh touch. I don't need a new word. I stand on his word that's already written. If you want a prophetic word, everything in here, remind him about it. Blessed is my going and my coming out. Come on, Lord, your word declares I'm moving forward, not backwards. That's prophetic words. So I said, somebody listen to me. That's a prophetic word. We want to hear from men. We want to hear that God speaks through man, the secret things. But get to the secret place and God will reveal the secret things. And when God reveals the secret things, it's things that no angels even know. It's things that, this is what the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians, that's the Holy Spirit that reveals the secret things of God's heart. When does he reveal that? In worship. He reveals it in worship. You want a prophetic word? Get on your knees. Get hungry. You want to be healed? Get hungry. Get on your knees and worship him. I believe you're my healer. And I believe more than enough for me. And you think about the pain in your knee and you grom op your maag. That's not worship. This is why people say, yeah, I had a beautiful time at church. Well, what did the pastor preach? I've got no idea. It was just nice. You know what the pastor is preaching when it becomes your reality. Because it's the Holy Spirit that reveals it here. He opened it. Is somebody here? Somebody listening to me? So when you worship the Lord, His presence comes. Listen, His presence is always within. Please hear me. When we worship God, the presence of God manifests on the outside. So His glory is being revealed and the glory can be seen. The glory can be seen. Do you hear me? Then you don't need gimmicks. The reason why these churches with gimmicks, and I say this with all the love and the respect, the reason why these gimmicks is because there's no revelation of truth. Come, I'm teaching you something this morning. You're going to see both the presence and the power. Are you ready? I want you to get the scripture Habakkuk on the screen for me. Please, can we get that big screen off? I don't want to confuse people. Can we get the scripture on the screen? Do you have it? Habakkuk chapter 2. You open your Bibles. Read this with me. Habakkuk 2. It goes on, he speaks about the vision. Write it down. Those who write it down. The vision shall not tarry, it shall come back. And then it goes on. In the next chapter, he says that in the presence of God, His power is hidden. Where's the power of God? So you write down the vision. The Bible says, now hear me, he says that if you write down a vision, write it down so that those who read can run with it. They can run with the vision. And the vision will not tarry if you write it down. And then the same author says, if you want the power of God, you have to get it out of the presence. You know, Deuteronomy says that, he spoke about Moses, he said that God took him to high places. And he continues, he says that in the high places, he drank from the honey. The scripture says, I will make rivers in high places. I will make rivers in high places. High places is places of worship. Please say with me, high places is places of worship. So in places of worship is where you receive the honey. The honey is always a sign of provision and breakthrough and more than enough. Do you hear me? That's what honey is. So why doesn't people see breakthrough? Why don't people see provision? It's because people have never been to high places. The Bible says, I will put rivers in high places. People down here dry up, they wither away. People that worship God in spirit and in truth, there's always a zeal, a hunger. There's no excuses for going to church. That you don't care how far you have to drive to go to that church. Because you don't even care about the you know, just quickly. We had a couple here that drove from Port Elizabeth that came here. The man who was diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer. Stage 4 brain cancer. The doctors couldn't operate on him because they said if they operate on him, he will go paralyzed, he will not be able to speak, he won't be able to see. And they drove far. And when they said to us, listen, we drove 12 hours to be here in the presence of God because we've heard great and mighty things about this church. I heard the voice of God say to me, I will honor their faith. I said to him, God's going to honor your faith. I just got the report that he went to hospital. They removed the growth. The doctors took a scan and they cannot find any trace of cancer. Stage 4 cancer disappeared in the presence of God when He is your reality. Now, I'm not going to be here and say I'm the only one assigned to walk in miracles, signs and wonders, because I'm not. I'm here to declare to you, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe in His name, go out and heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. The quickest way to see people healed is to make Jesus a reality to them. When this disappears, if you look at me, I'll go my genius. I can hear a fly genius. When a fly has got a headache, I help him out of his misery. Doom. I clap him with the Quran. Fat son, you're weeping. Amen. Wie voelt dat? Kunnen wie van? I don't heal. I've never said I'm a healer. I'm not a healer. If I tell you I'm a healer, I'm lying. but I serve a healer. I belong to a healer. I belong to the greatest doctor of all times. I belong to a surgeon whose hand is steady. Oh, you better hear me. I belong to a surgeon who does not need MR scans and any scans. He sees in the realm that even machines cannot see. I believe with all of my heart in heaven, there's rooms of kidneys and lungs. I believe in heaven, there's more than supply for anybody that will reach. As Jesus said, pray, as it is in heaven, so shall be on earth. You don't need to wait until you get to heaven. You need to get into the presence of God. For in His presence, His power is hidden. I said, in His presence, His power is hidden. When you stand in the presence of God, suddenly there will be a power that will sweep across this place. You won't be able to contain anything in you. The only reality will be Jesus Christ. And suddenly, that Spirit of God will come upon you. And when He comes upon you, He comes upon you to do the work of the ministry, to show this world that my God is not like Buddha, He's not like Muhammad, He's not like Allah. My God is alive and He's a miracle worker, He's a creator, He's a sustainer, He's a savior. I've never seen in Mecca that I have never heard in Mecca, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. I've never heard that in a Buddhist temple, because they cannot ascribe holiness to a dead idol, but we can ascribe holiness, come on, to the creator of the universe and cry out, holy, that's your attributes, holy, that's your nature. Woo! Woo! Don't you just love the presence of God? It's the presence of God that sustains. Come on, say with me, it's the presence of God that sustains. So worship does not stir the soul, it stills the soul. Praise stirs. Praise stirs. Worship stills. In worship, everything is still, everything is quieted down. Praise, I believe this with all of my heart. When we praise, we minister unto God. When we worship, God ministers unto us. This is why He says, be still and know that I am God. I need to say this to somebody. You better tell your mountain, be still and know He is God. You better tell that sickness, hey, you better be still, right? I'm going to smack you in the teeth. You better be still and know He is God. Come on, somebody. Come on, wave at me if you're with me right now. You better tell anything that comes against you and oppose you, you better be still and know that He is God. Come on, I want you to hear me. Be still and know that He is God. This is what worship does. It stills everything around us. I'm thinking about this right now. Remember when Jesus slept in the back of the boat and water filled the boat? And the disciples were running around and they said, Lord, don't you care that we're about to die? What was Jesus doing? He was sleeping. Now, who has been out on the sea, on the ocean before, the sea rather? Who have been out on the sea? When the waves moves, and especially when there's a storm, you're going to feel it. Come on, no man sleeps in a boat without feeling the boat being rocked. So the boat is being rocked. The scripture even says that water was starting to fill the brim of the boat. So this is why they feared. They didn't fear the storm. Please think about this. It were fishermen that knew storms. They knew the sea. They knew how to operate small boats. They knew how to operate this. But yet they were afraid. They were afraid the minute that water filled their boat. The minute that nature touched their nature, they ran to the Lord and said, don't you care that we're about to die? Why was Jesus sleeping? Because in His nature, in His world, there's no storm. Imagine running to the Prince of Peace and say, don't you care that we're about to die? Why didn't they find Jesus being fearful? Because the Prince of Peace, there's no fear found in Him. He's a worshiper of note. Worship is still, even in the storm. Worship stills a man, even in the storm. Because worship reveals who He is. Hallelujah. In your worship, that's when God reveals His attributes, His nature. Do I have 5 more minutes? That's when God reveals His nature. It's in His worship, in the realm of worship. Say hallelujah. So the presence of God, it causes to weep. It brings great confidence. You know, when a man that's shy and an introvert, when he becomes confident, then you know the presence of God is there. Hallelujah. A man that walks in the presence of God is never confident in this world. He's always confident in the one whom has sent him. Confident in him. Your confidence does not rely or lie in your shoes or in your jacket. I just want to make sure if I open my jacket, there's no bad brand. I've said to my wife, please print me some Gucci signs and just stick it in here. So when I say, yeah, it's warm here today, you know. Tjoe, it's really warm vandag. Right, you will not find the Gucci sign here, right? I'm just... I'm going to open. Hallelujah. Come say hallelujah. But the presence of God, that's where you find your confidence. I want all the guys to look at me. Ladies, you can look at the ground. Go on Facebook quickly. Guys, look at me. Your confidence does not come out of your bank account. Guys, do you hear me? Men with money is confident. This is not where our confidence comes from. Our money can tomorrow can disappear. You can lose it all in a second. But one thing that makes you confident is the all-abiding presence of God. Knowing who you are in Him. Knowing that when you open your mouth, that very same word that has been spoken lives and dwells in you. The breath of life. Come on, the spirit of creation lives in you. And when you stand and speak boldly and you release the presence, that's confidence. Confidence is when you open up your Bible and you declare the word of God because His word cannot come back void. That's confidence. Confidence is when you step out in your mandate that God has given you and you operate in faith because you're confident in Him. Ooh, hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Come on, I'm always there. Almost there. So the Bible says the power is released. Or the power, you want to see His power, it will be found in His presence. But how's that power released? The power is being released through surrender. When you surrender to God, you yield to the Lord. I want to ask this church, I say this, you know, we are a young church, we're 1 year old. So 1 year old, you have to teach people stuff that they never knew. You have to create a culture. Amen? So that what God has given you as a vision, that your whole, the people can grasp the culture of that. And one thing that I want to create in this place is a culture of surrender. That in other words, when we sing songs and it's already 10:45 and we're still going on, that people don't get tired and say, oh yeah, when I hold up. But that people will surrender and yield. Do you know when you are yielded? When time no longer matters. Do you know when you're yielded? When you have hoender with aardappels in die oond and you forget it. I've got a turkey in the oven and you don't care about the turkey in the oven. You forgot about the turkey in the oven. I don't care about the turkey in the oven. I care about the presence in this oven. And this presence is hotter than any turkey. Come on, it feeds you. The bread of life is greater than any turkey you can ever taste. I get this turkey, this is man. I want the bread of life. I want Him and Him and nothing else but Him. That's what we want. Do you know when you... I've touched on that, but I want to say this quickly again. You know when you can truly surrender is when Jesus is real to you. You know when you have court cases against you and the court case is not your reality, but Jesus is. Come on, when you're losing stuff and listen, just by the way, if you, and I'm going to say, if you see stuff being erected on this property, it's not always church money. You know how many times my wife and I, we sell off our own personal stuff to make sure that the church can be kept open. I've got no idea. Before Faith City, there was a Vessel to Brain Ministries. I still preach around. This is why I always say that we're not working for people, we're working for God. But we have come to a place in our life where we surrender everything. We know what it means to sell houses. To sell your house. To do for the kingdom of God that you need to do. We know exactly what it means. So many people can speak. We know what it means to surrender to Him. Because my security does not lie in my investments. My pension fund, my security lies in Him. Some of you here, where Jesus is more real than the car you drive, you will have no problem giving it away. Oh, why don't you give your car away? You've got no idea how many cars we've sold in our lives. We've been there. If Jesus is more real than the house you stay in, the house will not have you. If He's more real than your bank balance won't move you. Amen. Somebody listen to me. That's where the presence of God becomes reality to you. It's when Jesus is more real. So I want you to say high places of worship. We find the river. Come on, we find the river. We find the oil. We find the honey. That's what the Bible says. In high places, that's where you find the river. What river? What river? The river of life. That river that you need to be sustained. Is that river that puts that zeal in you. It says there will be oil. What oil? The Holy Spirit. You'll be found in places of worship. And then it goes on and it says honey, provision. If you need God, I want to ask people to be honest. Who needs provision? You need God to provide in some area of your life. Wave at me. Your provision is in your worship. Hear me now. Go and get it there. Did you hear me? Go and get it there. The life that will spring up in you like a well is in your worship. Go and get it there. The oil, the Holy Spirit of truth. Where do I find Him? People don't understand this. Elijah was standing and there was an earthquake. Fire came down. An earthquake was shaken. And the Bible says, the power of God was not found there. The presence of God was not found there. His voice was not found there. And suddenly, in a still, small voice, he heard God's voice. That's where God is. God is not here. God is here. In high places. And worship takes you to high places. I believe this morning that the presence of God is going to fill this house. And suddenly, there will be power. You know, when the presence of God comes, you don't wait for my hands. You jump up and you receive your healing. You check your own ear, open up. You check those eyes. You feel the pain. It must disappear in the presence of God. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? It must disappear there. No devil can live where Jesus is. Come on, no. Who has walked in here and when the presence of God comes, you feel like cutting your own wrists? No ways. No, because it gives you liberty. The presence of God gives you liberty. What does liberty mean? In the Father's house is liberty. What does it mean? It means if you want to run in this house, you better run. No usher will escort you out when you run. You can run, my brother. If you feel a fire of God in here, jump up like a bullet and run. You can jump for the joy. You can dance. Dance like David. You know why David could have danced like he danced? Because he saw the outcome. He saw his reality. While the rest were still, he knew what the presence of God was doing. The presence of God blessed Obed-Edom. He'll bless me. So come on, I want you to say the presence will bless me. Obed-Edom's house was blessed for 3 months because he made room for the presence of God. Amen. So two things, the presence and the power, different things. The presence is within, the power comes upon. When you feel the power, don't confuse it with the presence. The power stirs you up. Come on, I say the power stirs you up. You'll shout for joy. You'll jump. You'll praise. You'll run. And when the presence of God comes, suddenly you become still. But to gain that power, you have to approach the presence. And in the presence is where your victory lies. Go there. I said go there. Go and grab your healing there. Take it by force and be changed forevermore. It's in His presence. Anything that comes against you, go into the presence of God. Lay it in His court. Oh, hallelujah. Lay it in front of His court. Lord, there's an accusation against me. I'm approaching the court. You'll find a great advocate there. His name is Jesus. He will intercede your case for you. But you better get to the court. Is somebody listening to me right now? You better do what? You better get to the court. And when you go to a court here in South Africa, you dress nicely. With God, when you come to His court, He doesn't want you to have a suit on and a tie. He says, just come with your broken self. Come with your issues. Come with your problems. I will change you when you get to the court. Just get to the court. You can say, but Lord, I'm too old. Lord, I'm too young. When you get to the court, you don't feel age. You don't feel age. I said you don't feel age. Do you hear me? You don't feel tired. You don't get weak. You get stronger and stronger and stronger. In heaven, you're not going to sleep. Why do you want to sleep in the presence of God? His glory shall keep you sustained. But we need to become a culture of worshipers, people. There's no respect. I know that there's old people. I understand that. But I've got a problem when young people sit and worship God. I've got a big problem with that. Do you know when Jesus went into the underworld, the 3 days that He was dead, hell was not sitting. Oh, no grave was laying dormant. When the king walked in, let me just quickly share this, that the pit, the demons in the pit, the angels that was locked in prison, in the underworld, every saint, I'm talking to you about David and Abraham, every single one, the first thing they did, in reverence, what does this mean? Out of fear of God, they bowed. I don't care what your doctrine says, even Satan had to bow his knee. Imagine Satan must bow in the presence of God, but yet Christians worship like this. We are further away than Satan. There's no way when the true presence of God comes that I can be the same again. It changes you. I said it changes you. I declare in the name of Jesus right now. I say I declare it in the name of Jesus right now that His presence will pull you right through. I declare in the name of Jesus right now that His presence will become your true reality. I declare in the name of Jesus that His presence will still every storm in your life this morning. I'm speaking to people that says, Vessel, I need a touch from the presence of God. I need to be dipped in the presence of God. I need His presence to fill my whole house. I prophesy this to you that there will be a hunger greater than ever before for the Spirit of truth, and those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those who's desperate for Him and crawl through the crowd and say, Lord, I'm not leaving this place, not until I've touched the hem of Your garment, not until You've changed something in me. You know, God blesses people with crazy faith. God blesses people with persistence. People that say, well, I don't care to be good in this church this morning. I don't care if I tell my name with a plunk, that's fine. But I'm not leaving like I came. I'm here for an encounter with the living God. Come on, I declare, as you seek the presence, as you stand in worship, that His power will be released to you, and that power will set you free. I said that power will break strongholds. That power will move mountains. Come on, that power will raise bodies in the name of Jesus Christ. If you're one of them that says, I need the presence of the Lord, you better tap in right now. You better tell the person next to you, I love you, but I'm not worshiping you right now. I need a touch from heaven. I need an encounter with God. And suddenly, when you start to worship in spirit and in truth, you feel a fire in you. You feel, yeah, there's something happening here. Maybe you're not used to it. And you feel, you just flow. Just flow. Suddenly you feel, wow, the pain that I had is gone. People stuck with their pills, stuck with their sicknesses, because that's their reality. Jesus is not the reality to them. I want to end with this. The first thing to a touch, before God touches and blesses, there must be something, and Paul says, a daily renewal of the mind. This is why many people are not getting healed, not getting blessed, because there's no renewal of the mind. As a man thinketh, so is he. Now this morning, you better hear me. The Holy Spirit is going to take full control. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to stand to your feet. I want every hand to be lifted. I want every eye to be closed. Holy Spirit, I want to ask you to forgive your people for worshiping like they feel, not worshiping according to who you are. We repent and we say in the name of Jesus, forgive us. We want to become worshipers, as Jesus described, worshipers that will worship in spirit and in truth. And this morning, as we call upon you, we pray that your presence will just ignite this whole building, that there will be a supernatural turnaround in the lives of people. I want to ask, I need a drummer here. I need somebody on the guitar. I need some singers up here. Just quickly help me. And the rest of the just every eye closed, every hand lifted. Every hand lifted to him. He's your reality. Not your sickness, not your disease, not what you bear on your body, not what you've been going through. So every eye closed. You know, when we start to pray loudly, Acts chapter 2, there was nothing silent about Acts chapter 2. The Bible says there was a mighty sound. A mighty sound. It was filling not just their house, but it was filling the streets. People come from the streets to see what God was doing. There was nothing that they were shy about. They knew that the presence of God, when it comes, when the power is being released, and when the power hits, I'll be changed into another man. So this morning, I want the whole body of Christ that we're going to pray. And we're going to, I want you to say this with me right now. I'm not going to be shy this morning. I'm going to press in. I want to press in. And for the next 2 minutes, we're going to pray loud prayers. We're going to pray bold prayers. Now you might say, well, Vessel, the Bible says that if we pray, we must not pray that everybody hears and sees. Well, you're not praying that everybody hears and sees. The reason why Jesus said, don't pray that everybody hears you, is when your heart says, I want to be seen. We are not here to be seen. We are here to be effective. My heart doesn't want to be seen. My heart wants to cry out to the living God. My heart is desperate for him. My heart cries out. There's a yearning for him. This is why we pray loud. Loud. We release the decibels in the supernatural realm. We pray bold prayers. I want the whole church, come on. I don't want to hear the drums. I want to hear keyboards. I want to hear guitars. Come on, I want to hear loud, bold praying. If you can pray in the spirit, pray in the spirit. Pray in your spiritual language. If you can't pray in tongues, pray in your own language. Come on, for 2 minutes.